Well, the bill currently making its way through the Michigan Senate has sparked significant debate, aiming to defund contentious grants awarded in a previous budget cycle. Now, among these grants is a notable $20 million allocation to a nonprofit organization helmed by Detroit area business leader Faye Baydoun. Now, additionally, the Michigan Unemployment Insurance Agency is seeking $55 million from the legislature to cover the settlement with individuals who were directed to repay their pandemic-era jobless benefits before resolving a protest or appeal. Let's bring in Beth LeBlanc, a reporter for the Detroit News, to catch us up on these legislative moves. Good morning, Beth.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So I guess using part of a $20 million grant to buy a $4,500 coffee maker just went a little too far, and lawmakers had to do something to get this under control. What did they do, or what are they trying to do?
Yeah, so the Senate this week, they passed a supplemental budget, so basically a partial budget to get it through, to get the state through the end of the year. And they included in their language that would lapse any funding that had not been given out for this nonprofit, Global Link International. So practically, that means about $10 million that they're directing the state budget office to withhold from this grant. And of course, this is after concerns were raised about how the grant was being spent. You know, among the expenses so far of the $10 million that's gone out already, there have been a $4,500 coffee maker, an $11,000 first-class flight to Budapest, and more than $408,000 in salaries for two people over a three-month period. So it's raised some red flags for lawmakers, and they're seeing if there's a way to at least stop the last $10 million from going out.
Has there been any reaction from Faye Baydoun since these stories have come out?
You know, she hasn't responded to requests for comment since the story came out in April. But ahead of that, I did talk to her in over email extensively about this. And she maintains that, you know, the expenses are justified. She didn't respond to questions about the coffee maker. But the other expenses she justified is part of doing business.
So I've got to ask you, how do these grants come about? Don't they have to be underwritten or originally proposed by some lawmaker? And who was the House member or Senate member that initially introduced this, underwrote this idea?
Yeah, so these are grants that are pretty unique grants that have grown in use over the past few years as the state has kind of been flush with cash after the COVID pandemic. And they're used as a sort of like horse trading during budget negotiations. So a lawmaker who maybe is withholding a yes vote, they get a grant for a local project in their community or a nonprofit in their community. This one, the issue, though, with these grants is that they don't go through the regular grant application process that would usually be required, where somebody shows what they're going to be doing. They do a public proposal. They have paperwork to support it. These are all negotiated behind closed doors. So it's difficult to know for months afterward who sponsored the grant. And then it's also difficult to know who it's going to because it uses very vague language. In this case, the grant was listed by the state budget office as being sponsored by former House Speaker Jason Wentworth. Last year, he denied sponsoring the grant. He said he had met with Baydoun, but he did not sign off on the grant. Baydoun, others involved with the grant, all maintained that he was the sponsor. So there's a bit of a question there still.
So this is a Republican in this case. You know, everybody's got dirty hands in this process, though, right? We've seen it exploited by both parties.
Well, I'll say that, yeah, that these grants are used by Democrats and Republicans alike. They've raised questions regardless of who has sponsored them in the past. And, you know, yeah, it's a vast majority of lawmakers, both Democrats and Republicans, who vote on the budget at the end of the day. And
right.
It's signed into law by a Democratic governor.
Beth, what has Speaker Joe Tate said about on the House side? Is he considering something similar to the Senate?
They said they're aware of what the Senate did, and they're considering whether there's a potential for them to do that on the House side. You know, we might see them just kind of adopt the Senate bill that made its way through the Appropriations Committee, or we might see them counter that with a different type of proposal addressing this grant and others.
Beth, this came to light because of your reporting, correct?
Yeah, we had followed the grant for about a year and were able to get receipts earlier this year and that were pretty interesting to us. And so we reported on those last month.
That's journalism at work there.
Yeah, great journalism.
Yeah, good on you for chasing it down. I guess my question is you know, it's good that people like you are doing this, but why should we have to do it? Why does our system have to be so opaque? And in light of this scandal, and it is a scandal, is anybody talking about changing the process?
Well, you know, Democrats last year, because several outlets have been reporting on the fact that these grants have grown in use over the years and the fact that they are not very transparent. It takes months to track down who sponsored them. It takes several phone calls to figure out who they're going to. And sometimes the state budget office doesn't even know who they're supposed to go to, and they have to track it down. So there are a lot of questions. You know, this is one pretty glaring example, but there have been questions raised about dozens of these grants that have gone through. We're talking $1 billion each year for the past few years that have been spent on these grants. And so there has been some movement. Last year, the Democratic-led legislature said, look, we're still going to do it, but we're going to get you the sponsors of who sponsored the grants in a timely manner. A timely manner means months, right? It still takes months to get the information on who sponsored it.
Well, so there's also, it was another grant too, I believe, a $25 million grant that was tied to a mid-Michigan health facility along with the one with Faye Baydoun. Is there possible that it could be criminal charges?
Yeah, so the Attorney General is investigating two of these grants so far. One is the one for Faye Baydoun. The other one is $25 million that was given to like a health park project in the city of Clare. And that one raised questions because it was the project eventually was tied to the legislative aide of House Speaker Jason Wentworth. So there are questions about, you know, what kind of deals were struck ahead of time that allowed him to create a nonprofit to receive this grant later on. And what the reasoning was for developing a health park in Clare and you know, what kind of deals were made beforehand or behind closed doors.
Yeah. Beth LeBlanc, kudos to you for your reporting. Thank you so much, reporter for the Detroit News, for being here on JR Morning.
Thank you for having me.
And coming up at 7:49, it is May 3rd, but it's Fifth Third Day. Fifth Third Bank's volunteering day. They're going to volunteer, and we're going to tell you more about that coming up next at 7:49 on JR Morning.
Doing some great things in the community. Time now for Automotive Views with Jamie Butters, brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. You can learn more at michiganbusiness.org.
The UAW's victory in Chattanooga was historic, no doubt, but it really wasn't a surprise given how narrow the union's previous defeat was, and that was at the height of a corruption investigation that ultimately sent two UAW presidents to prison. As I often said last year, Sean Fain became UAW president with no base, no machine, and no mandate, but in leading the union to rich contracts last year, he built a base and a machine. And his self-appointed mandate to organize transplants and startups is the right one for the shrinking union, which can also help level the playing field for the Detroit Three. Getting a Detroit-like contract in Tennessee may be a challenge. Winning the next vote at the Mercedes plant in Alabama may be tougher than it was at VW. But Americans' view of organized labor is as positive as it's been since the 1960s, and the UAW is not letting the opportunity go to waste. With this week's Automotive View, I'm Jamie Butters, host of the Daily Drive podcast and executive editor of Automotive News.